come to order on this 32nd legislative day. Members may proceed to vote to show their presence.
Senator Farrington?
The roll shows 16 members present this morning. Senators Pierce and Binkley are excused from the call of the Senate.
Please rise for the invocation by the chaplain, John Payden, from the Juno Church of Christ.
Dear God, we thank you for unity. May the single purpose of this body give solid direction for the people of our state. We thank you for diversity. May the differing opinions among us enrich all Alaskans. We thank you for love. May compassion and understanding rule through our deliberations, whether in unity or in diversity. Thank you, dear God, for the men and the women of this body. Guide them and bless them. I come to you through your love, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will our guest Senate page, Annabelle Lund, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Prayer. Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the minutes.
Without objection, prayer be spread on the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 31st legislative day.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary for the 31st legislative day.
Without objection, the journal is approved and certified. Introduction of guests, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a number of people here that are members of the Alaska Professional Design Council. They are architects, engineers, and land surveyors from districts across the state. I'll just go through the entire list and see if I have any more on the list. No, I don't. Joel Chamberlain from Anchorage area. Doug Green, Anchorage area. Marilyn Bordine from the Anchorage area. John Ross, Anchorage area. Catherine Call, Anchorage area. Jay Hill, Fairbanks. Richard Ritter and Paul Volker from Juneau, Dan Rowley from the, this is the Donut District, I'm not sure what area of that district, Bill Tucker, Jeffrey Wilson, and Patrick Cochina. Welcome to the Senate, glad to see you here.
Senator Sturgeliski.
Mr. President, I would like to take perhaps a little unusual action in introducing a new page. We've had all of our page before us, and I've had a good deal of biographical information on them. I simply do not have that same kind of information on our guest page today, but it is Annabelle Lund. She is with the Juno Empire, and for any of my fellow senators, you might, who've often thought that the pen is mightier than the sword, you might consider that this is a good day to get kind of even with things in case you had extra requests for this guest page, who I understand is doing a story, to make some requests for water and other necessities that are important to us. But welcome with that regard to a very fine bread maker, Annabelle Lund, who's our guest page today.
Senator Curtula.
Ms. Lund is also a wonderful baker. And with that, I suspect I won't get any more baking because everybody else will be asking for them. But she really is. Thank you, Bill. Also today, I have the distinct happy opportunity to introduce members of the, and they're in red jackets, and I believe I'll be joined by another senator in other introductions on the subject. But anyway, Vocational Industrial Clubs of America, Virgil Carroll, who's a parliamentarian from Cordova, Jeremy Fitzgibbons of Wasilla, Alaska State Chaplain, Nanny Greenstreet of Palmer, State Secretary, Ray Jensen, State Advisor. Ray, could you introduce the lady next to you? I'm certain that she's part of the group. But anyway.
No, she's part of the effort.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for coming today.
Senator Duncan.
President, I'll follow up on those introductions with introducing three of the others who are in the gallery behind me. We have Erica Wilson, who is a senior at J.D. High. My understanding is she is state secretary at DECA. Deborah Rakos, a junior at J.D. High, state treasurer. And also with them is Angie Emerson, who is with the Alaska Association of School Governments.
Further introductions? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Would the secretary please show the presence of Senators Porchell and Binkley on the floor? And the Senate will please stand at ease. Senator Porchell. Please come back to order. Messages from the House.
Message dated February 8, Mr. President. The House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 127, Hess, with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 127, Hess. An act relating to the private manufacture of an alcoholic beverage and providing for an effective date and transmitting for consideration.
Senator Halford.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127 Hess, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127.
Senator Porchell.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the so-called homebrew bill that we passed expeditiously from this body last week in an effort to try to accommodate the annual homebrew competition of the Fur Rendezvous, which begins, I believe, today in Anchorage. The House version of the bill, the version of given back to us by the other body is only a temporary solution to what I think is going to be a perennial problem because of a glitch of the way we passed local option laws a couple of years ago. The version passed by this body would have created a more permanent solution to permit this kind of competition, not only in Fur Rendezvous, but also our state fairs next summer and from now on to take place. I think this it does address the immediate problem, but it will not obviate the need to get into, again, a more permanent solution. I've been assured by people in the other body that that discussion will take place this session. Hopefully, this session we can arrive at a more permanent solution.
Any further discussion? The question before the Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I'm very concerned about this committee substitute. At the request of the sponsor, I will support this amendment, but I do not think that it by any means covers the need to correct an omission in a former bill.
Any further discussion? The question for the body is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127, Hess Committee? Members may proceed to vote. All 20 senators voted. Secretary may lock the roll. If any senator wish to change his or her vote, Secretary will record the vote. So the Senate has concurred in the House amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127, Hess. Senator Halford.
I move to ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of concurrence for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 127 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Without objection. Madam Secretary, further messages from the House?
Message dated February 8, Mr. President. The House has passed and transmitted for consideration Committee Substitute for House Bill No. 8, financed by the Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Addition of Land to Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park.
Resources financed.
Those are the messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism considered Senate Concurrent Resolution No. 17 supporting the development of Hatcher Pass Ski Area, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Szymanski, Chair, concurring Senators Halford, Sturgalewski, and Ewing. Senator Zhuroff signed no recommendation, a sure resident hire. There is a zero fiscal note attached. Senate concurrent resolution number 17 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 16, Acquisition, Preservation, and Interpretation of the Historic Kennecott Mine by the National Park Service in the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 16, ITT, and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Szymanski, Chair, concurring Senators Sturgalewski, Zhuroff, and Ewing. Senator Halford signed no recommendation. There are two zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Joint Resolution Number 16 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 59, Mandatory Use of Safety Devices in Motor Vehicles, and recommended it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 59, State Affairs, and reports it back as follows. Senator Porchot, Chair, and Senator Ewing signed do pass. Senator Adams signed do not pass. Senators Fakes and Kelly signed no recommendation. There are two zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill Number 59 has a further referral to the Transportation Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 82, Loans and Lending Practices of the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, providing an exemption for the bank's membership, stock, and certain other securities issued by the bank from registration under the Alaska Securities Act effective date. A majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill and Curtula. Senators Rohde and Fake signed no recommendation. There is a previous zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 82 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 112, exempting farming from the business license requirement, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill, Rohde, and Curtula. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. There is a zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 112 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, Resources Amended, encouraging citizen participation in statewide beach cleanup and anti-dumping efforts. And a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fehrenkamp, Chair, concurring Senators Curtula, Frank, Eliason, Zhuroff, and Sturgalewski. There is a previous House zero fiscal note attached. Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, Resources Amended, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, Promotion of International Tourism and the International Movement of Cargo through the Alaska International Airport System, and a majority of the committee recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring Senators Eliason, Kelly, and Curtula. Senate Joint Resolution Number 15 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 23, Recording and Collection of Crime Statistics, and a majority of the committee recommended, recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rohde, Kelly, Eliason, and Curtula. Senate Bill Number 23 is also on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 18 by Senators Binkley, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Adams, and Duncan relating to inhalant abuse.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 by Senators Binkley, Kelly, Szymanski, Fisher, Coghill, and Eliason relating to alcohol and drug education programs.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 27 by Senators Curtula and Szymanski relating to an essential air service subsidy for the city of Valdez.
Transportation.
Those are the resolutions for introduction this morning.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 169 by Senators Binkley, Pierce, Kelly, Szymanski, Adams, and Duncan, entitled an act extending the powers and duties of the Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, Department of Health and Social Services, to programs and activities relating to misuse of hazardous volatile substances by inhalant abusers, and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
That is the only bill for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Consideration of the daily calendar. Would the Secretary please read the first item of business?
Senate Bill Number 23 by Senator Spakes and Mr. Jaluski for an act entitled An Act Relating to the Recording and Collection of Crime Statistics. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill. The majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Pershaw, Chair. Concurring Senators Adams, Spakes, and Ewing. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair. Concurring Senators Rohde, Kelly, Elias, and Kotula.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
I believe there is a letter of intent pending. Is that for third reading? Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 23 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 23 is advanced to third reading. Senator Fakes.
Senate Bill Number 23, an act related to the recording and collection of crime statistics.
Senator Fakes.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the letter of intent as the Senate letter of intent, sir.
The objection is noted. Senate will stand. Welcome back to order, Senator Fakes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The chairman of the State Affairs Committee had a very good idea in reworking the order of the focus of the letter of intent. And just so for easier clarification of the body, we're going to have that letter of intent retyped. So could the majority leader make a motion that we move this and all pending motions to the bottom of the calendar?
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we move Senate Bill 23 in third reading with a pending motion on letter of intent to the bottom of today's calendar.
Without objection, Senate Bill 23 is at the bottom of the calendar. Will the Secretary please read the next item of business?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 15 by Senators Ewing, Pierce, Szymanski, Strzelewski, Kelly, Frank, and Fahrenkamp relating to the promotion of international tourism and the international movement of cargo through the Alaska International Airport System. The Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism considered this resolution and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, ITT, new title and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Szymanski, Chair, concurring Senators Ewing, Strzelewski, Halford, and Jarrow. Zero fiscal note attached. Transportation Committee considered the resolution and recommends the ITTCS be adopted and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Jones, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill, Fisher, Pershaw, and Fahrenkamp. Previous zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the resolution and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kurtula, Elias, and N. Kelly. It's a committee substitute.
There is a committee substitute pending. Senator Szymanski.
Yes, I'd move that we adopt Committee Substitute Senate Joint Resolution 15-ITT.
Without objection, Committee Substitute is adopted. Are there any amendments?
Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15-ITT by the Senate Special Committee on International Trade and Tourism, supporting bilateral aviation agreements to better promote international tourism and the movement of cargo through the Alaska International Airport System.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
We have brief at ease.
Senate will stand at to order. We're in second reading on Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15-ITT. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Halford.
Move and ask unanimous consent Senate Joint Resolution Number 15 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, Senate Joint Resolution 15 is placed in third reading. Is there any discussion? Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just probably just a few words on this. I know a lot of people followed this issue as it went through several of the committees. Basically, the resolution that's before you, Senate Joint Resolution 15, essentially is a resolution in support of the state and federal effort to improve Alaska's opportunities, particularly in the international airport system. The newly created Aviation Bilateral Committee established in the Alaska Department of Transportation takes advantage of the expertise from many different state agencies. This task force is working to enhance Alaska's position in the international aviation negotiations. The resolution before you essentially will go to the State Department in Washington, D.C., and they're going to essentially supporting the fact that Alaska wants to have landing rights for
international carriers to come in here and make Alaska a destination choice for tourism. The 2 years that I spent on the International Trade Committee was very interesting because we really need that kind of a situation in Alaska, because we are going to have more overflights of 747 long-range jets going on to Europe. They're not going to be landing. There's a possibility of losing lots and lots of revenue from the airport system. That was pointed out in the committee. Very serious kind of situation. So we want to make sure we are designated for landing rights under these very extensive negotiations that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now with Japanese, with other international, with other countries around the world.
Thank you. Would the Secretary please read the resolution in third reading?
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, IT&T, supporting bilateral aviation agreements to better promote international tourism and the movement of cargo through the Alaska International Airport System.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that the sponsor, and certainly co-sponsor, one of the co-sponsors, Senator Pierce, is not here, have led the charge in this area and have developed what I believe to be very good foundation for putting the state of Alaska, or thrusting the state of Alaska directly into what would normally be not a real concern of ours, which are these bilateral agreements and these bilateral negotiations. And while we've had a lot of discussion on it, let me just say that almost every major tourism and international development that we have going on related to the International Airport hinges around the ability for us to be able to have carriers coming in and out of Alaska. And not only Anchorage, but the destination in Fairbanks as well. And my feeling is unless we get the attention of the international negotiators and they really see what's going to be the impact, we're not going to ultimately get them to be responsive, because we're, on an overall scale, a small state with regard to the impact of negotiations going on. And we need to really force ourselves to be heard. We're investing state revenue into these negotiating positions now. I recently had a meeting yesterday on a presentation on, just using the example of the ski resort at Eagle River, where the original marketing study really pointed out that we have a barrier to bringing international tourists into Alaska, because there's a real reluctance to have carriers set up a stopover in Anchorage and have the remaining seats move through without any carrying or paying passengers associated with them. So let me just say that I commend the leadership of the sponsor of this bill and the work that he's done in the past in it, because I think that it points out once again that as we're developing and diversifying our economy, that we need to become active participants, as we have in fishing issues, international fishing issues, the same way we have to put our position and have it heard with regard to aircraft negotiations, particularly these bilateral negotiations.
Any further discussion? Question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, International Tourism and Trade, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote. So committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 15, IT&T, has passed the body by a number of 18 yeas and no nays. Citation calendar, Madam Secretary.
Citations: Honoring a Kid's Place, Anchorage Kids Day, by Senators Ewing, Parshaw, Pierce, Rohde, Szymanski, Higgs, Strzelewski, Katula, Halford, and Kelly.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the citation appearing on today's calendar be approved by the Senate.
Without objection, the citations are approved. That brings us back to Senate Bill 23. Madam Secretary. Senator Fahrenkamp.
May we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, introduction of guests.
Mr. President, I notice in the gallery behind me that we have a person who was very instrumental in the wonderful reception that was given on behalf of the state of Alaska in Hawaii with the Western Conference. We have with us today Bruce McCowden. He's the Director of State Government Affairs of BP America. Help me make him welcome.
Senator Jones?
May we have a brief at ease?
Senator will stand at ease. Three. Senator Fix, I believe you have to replace the motion to indicate the new letter of intent.
Yes,
Senator Fix.
I would be glad to do that. I would like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the letter of intent designated by, distributed by Senator Porchot and Fix.
Is there any objection to the adoption of the letter of intent? Mm-hmm. Letter of intent.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't hear you.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the letter of intent?
Mr. President, was
Senator
the other formally there? Does it not have to be withdrawn?
Senator Fakes, would you withdraw the first motion?
Yes, sir. I would be glad to do that. Right. Yes, I apologize to the body. I will withdraw my initial motion to adopt the original letter of intent for Senate Bill 23.
Without objection, the motion withdrawn. Senator Fakes?
Mr. Chairman, I would move for the adoption of the letter of intent for Senate Bill 23 as designated by, distributed by Porchot and Fakes.
Is there any objection to the adoption of the letter of intent by Porchot and Fakes? Without objection, the letter of intent is adopted. Any discussion on Senate Bill 23? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, while I have absolutely no problem with the intent of this legislation and think it is something that's badly needed, there is a great deal of concern from the local police department at home. They're concerned about two things. One, they feel that the commissioner, in this instance, is given much too much leeway and authority and inflexibility in enforcing that authority. They're also concerned that even though the commissioner said at this time this will not be done, and even though we have adopted a letter of intent that says it will not be costly to them, they're at present with their two types of reports, the incidental reports and the summary reports, they are still not convinced that there may not be either a change in the commissioner, that the letter of intent may not be ignored, as we in this body know has happened before, and therefore feel that this legislation is premature due to the potential cost to the local police departments. So with that statement, I would like to let you know why I'll be voting no on this legislation.
Further discussion? Senator Fakes.
There's nothing in the legislation. Let me back up a little bit. Let me give a further explanation. In 1986, there was an audit, by legislative audit, of the Division of Family and Youth Services. And what we had in that audit, it showed that, or previous discussion that generated the audit by a legislator, was that the department was saying that juvenile crime in the state of Alaska was going down. And they were very happy about that. And then there was a hue and cry from the local police departments that said, no, that's not true. Juvenile crime is going up, and it's not only going up, it's of a tremendous intensity. It's much more violent. So a legislator requested there'd be an audit. What's going on here? How can the department say juvenile crime is going down, and the Juvenile Crime Commission and the local departments are all saying juvenile crime is not only going up, but it's of higher intensity? What the audit uncovered, and you have it in your background, was that there was no procedure in the state to require the local police departments to give uniformed statistical data to the Department of Public Safety for their uniform crime reports. All the departments were giving their statistics to the department in slightly different ways. Now, what the department has is several hundred thousand dollars invested in a crime statistics computer program, several people sitting in the department inputting this data into this, and we give this information not only to us, the legislature, the various departments and state government for their planning and policy purposes, but we also give it to the FBI. And what the audit discovered is the crime statistics were skewed. They were inaccurate, and they were inaccurate because the data going into the machine was done in various different formats, and there was no uniform reporting method, so the data was coming out skewed, and that's what caused the deviation between what the crime report said juvenile crime was doing and what was actually happening out there on the streets. So the auditors recommended that we try to establish a uniform crime reporting method so that the data would be usable. Right now, the data isn't usable. We have several $100,000 invested in this. We have state employees doing this work, and we can't use the data. It's not reliable. So what this bill does, there is, and we all know what lack of communication does. And I'm afraid what's happening is our local police departments and the Department of Public Safety are not communicating with one another. There's nothing that says they even have to submit their crime data. Some of the departments aren't even playing. They're not even submitting the data now. I think they should not only have to submit their data, but they should have to cooperate and do it in some uniform manner. This bill doesn't do that. It doesn't say they have to submit their data. They don't have to do it now. It doesn't require them to submit their data. But if they do submit their data, if they do elect to participate in the Uniform Crime Statistics reporting mechanism, that the department work with them over time to develop a uniform method so that everybody is giving the same bit of information into the computer so that we can use the statistics. That's all this bill does. It doesn't require them to participate. Some of them don't. Some of the very departments that testified against this bill are not participating now. So we don't even have the benefit of their crime data. So it's whether we want to use a system that's already in place and whether we want this tool to work for us. That's what we're trying to do.
Any further discussion? Senator Jones.
Mr. President, my local police department has a problem with this because they have a data processing system that they feel is superior to the state's at this time. And if they have to now comply with what the state has, they feel that, not, number one, it's going to cost them money to do this, and number two, they're going to end up with an inferior system. What they have now is working well with them, and they want to keep it. And they really don't want to get involved with what the state has. So is this what we're going to end up with? Is local police departments going to have to go in and change their data processing system to concur with the state's?
Senator Fakes.
No, sir. I'm glad the senator from Ketchikan brought that up. Quite frankly, the FBI has recommended a system very similar to what Ketchikan uses to the Department of Public Safety. And it's the FBI's recommendation that they go to a system very similar to what Ketchikan does now. So I wish Ketchikan would participate in these discussions, show the superiority of their system and some of the systems around the state. They'd have the FBI backing, and maybe we can move the department along those lines. What we're having here is setting up a mechanism so that dialogue can begin.
Senator Ewing?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. That last question sort of prompted a question for me, and I did follow the bill through the State Affairs Committee. And I, as I recall, the testimony from Ketchikan was that there was some concern in Ketchikan that the, you know, on these statistical things that they had to do and how they had to comply with it. But I just want to make sure that I understand before I vote on the bill, though, that it's optional. Is that correct? For the record, if I could just have that, it's optional. So the Ketchikan thing isn't really. If it's optional, it doesn't mean Ketchikan has to do it. Is what I'm trying to say.
Senator Fakes.
Ketchikan not only doesn't have to do it, they're not doing it now. It is absolutely, totally optional, and we have a local police department who testified in opposition to the bill who's not participating right now in the uniform crime reports. So it is still optional, but I hope Ketchikan will participate because I think the senator from that area is correct. They do have a good system.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, that brings up a question along the line of what the co-chairman of finance was asking. I think it is optional, but it's optional from the department standpoint, not from the municipality standpoint. As I read this bill, unless I'm reading it incorrectly, the department shall establish and may require state and local law enforcement agencies. So if the department decides to require, then it's not optional to the locals, it's optional to the state to require.
Senator Fakes.
There's another section of the law which allows an opt-out section for the local departments. This is another section of the law that's the department now has no authority to even begin the dialogue to establish uniform reporting requirements. There's another section of the law that allows the local departments to opt out, and that's what they're using now, Senator. They are not complying right now. Many of them are not. And they float in and out. Some years they give their statistics, other years they don't give their statistics. It is a totally optional program. That's a whole other problem. I mean, those crime statistics are not usable to us right now under the optional program. We're not changing that. We're just trying. This is the first step towards starting the ball rolling.
Senator Szymanski.
I was a supporter. Now I'm questioning. And I will ask for an ad E so we can take a look at that statute, because this statute clearly says may require, and if you tell a department they may require it, it seems like a requirement's a requirement. And if there's another provision that doesn't allow it, then I think we need to know that. I'd like to have an ad E to see that statute.
Senator, will stand at ease. And spaghetti for lunch today.
It's all gone.
Further discussion on Senate Bill 23. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. I just want to thank. You have a question?
Senator Szymanski, you have the floor.
The sponsor clarified it from my perspective, and in answering Senator Duncan's question, the senator from Juneau's question, yes, indeed, if the agencies want to participate, that's the first question. And once they elect into it, the department may require them to conform to the uniformity. But obviously, they have to make that first elected option. And based on that, I have no problem supporting it.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, that brings another question to my mind, and that is if it's an optional thing, and if they can opt out, then how will this improve our data collection?
Senator Fakes.
It's really very minimal, because the local police departments are fighting turning in their crime statistics. I think that's a shame. I don't think that's right. But this bill doesn't force them to do it. But if they do want to participate, then it forces the department to work with them and have a uniform reporting method. I think they should be turning in those things. But I'm not trying to change that portion of the law yet.
Any further discussion on Senate Bill 28? The question being, shall Senate Bill 23 pass the body? The members may proceed to vote. Have all senators voted? The secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? The secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Bill 23 passes the body by a vote of 16 yeas and 3 nays. Unfinished business. Under unfinished business, I'd like to announce that the budget summit meeting between the House, the governor, and the Senate was changed today from 3 o'clock to 2 p.m. Further unfinished business. Senator Fisher.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15 relating to the hydrogeological surveys on the Kenai Peninsula.
That objection, you're shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote on Senate Bill Number 23.
Notice of reconsideration is given on Senate Bill 23. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor with the consent of the sponsor on Senate Joint Resolution 16, Preservation of Kennecott Mine Site.
Without objection, Senator, you'll be shown as a joint sponsor.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator
President.
Gilling.
And I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor with the consent of the sponsor on Senate Concurrent Resolution 17 on Hatcher Pass.
Without objection, you'll be shown as a... Senate will stand at ease. Do we still have that?
I would also move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Finance Committee be allowed to waive the publication notice on Senate Joint Resolution 4, a bill on the right to keep and bear arms, so that that bill can be heard on Monday.
Without objection, the publication notice is waived on SJR 4. Further unfinished business? Senator Adams.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the body on tomorrow, Friday the 10th, please.
Without objection, Senator Adams excused. Further unfinished business? Announcements. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today at 3:30 in the Belts Room, the House Resources Committee and the Senate Resources Committee and any other senator who wishes to join with us will be hearing a resolution relating to the National Energy Strategy, and that is Resolution Number 20, Senate Joint Resolution Number 26. That's today at 3:30.
Senator Sturgeliski.
Mr. President, just announcements. Rules Committee at 1:15 in the Butrovich Room will be hearing, considering HCR 5, encouraging citizen participation in statewide beach cleanup and anti-dumping efforts.
Further announcements? Senator Figgs.
For Judiciary today at 1:30 in the Butrovich Room, capital punishment, and we're beginning marijuana, sir. Senate Bill 18.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, the Transportation Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30. The agenda has been published. Next week, February 14th, on Tuesday, we will take up Senate Bill 144, an act relating to relocation assistance for federally assisted projects and programs. On February 16th, Thursday, we will hear Senate Bill 59, an act relating to mandatory use of safety devices in motor vehicles.
Further announcements, Senator Ewing.
Mr. President, brief at ease, please.
Federal Standard East. Order. I believe we are in announcements. Under announcements, when we have announcements, I think what I'm going to do is go from right to left, back to forward, to keep all of you from hopping up and down. So I will look back there and come up, and then look back there and come up. Any further announcements? Special orders. Senator Figgs.
Yes, sir. I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor under special orders to give my portion of the Alaska Native Federation of Native report.
Without objection, Senator, you have the floor.
It's in many ways a pleasure to be able to do this because at least you have to read these statistics. But on the other side of it, it's very unpleasant because the statistics are alarming, and I think they require not only a lot of education on our part, but a lot of sensitivity and finding ways of solving these problems. And if I could just go over some of the statistics that having to do with infants. The birth rate, when the child is born, things are very normal. They have the same sort of statistics as on the national average and for other nationalities. But the dates of between 28 days to 1 year is where the statistics go off the tables, and the Alaska Native children are suffering from alarming rates of birth defects, various diseases, and fetal alcohol infant death syndrome that are not occurring in any other class of children across the United States. In fact, sudden infant death syndrome is more than twice the national average. And it's an alarming problem. It's a very serious problem. Fetal alcohol syndrome, which is a condition caused by the use of alcohol by the mothers during pregnancy, is a leading cause of native birth defects. And it's just, again, twice the national average for this particular problem. And it is the leading cause of mental retardation in Alaska Native children. And the condition is totally 100% preventable. So it's just a shame that we have these children out there with this tremendous problem that is 100% preventable if we could just find that formula that would cause that prevention. The high death rate due to flu and pneumonia is a legacy in the Native community that was introduced by non-Natives, and these factors are just further enhanced by hygiene problems and nutrition, and they play a further role in the incidences of flu and pneumonia among small children. Also, Native children appear to be very vulnerable to other infections in a more localized area. For example, the Alaska Native children seem more susceptible to the HIV virus than any other population group in the world. The virus accounts for 68% of meningitis cases. And in most parts of the United States, meningitis is unheard of. It disappeared right after the turn of the century. And yet in Alaska, meningitis is a real problem for Alaska children. And it is the leading cause of deafness and paralysis among these infants. Since these kinds of problems frequently require lifetime care and long-term financial consequences, naturally there's a huge consequence to the family, to the community, and then those of us representing the legislature and state government. To a large degree, infant health depends on the health and stability of the mother. And although natives make up 14% of the Alaska population, 30% of Alaskan teenage mothers are native. So there's a disparity in the numbers right there. These young women want to have the best for their babies, but they often lack the maturity, the parenting skills, family support, and the money needed to raise these children. Native teenage mothers and their children are particularly in a high-risk group. In addition to disease and birth defects, child abuse and sexual assault pose their own risk to these children, and I think no one in this body needs to be reminded of the fact that Alaska is number one or number two in child abuse in the entire country. We all know that we have tremendous problems in that particular area, in both the Native community and in the non-Native community. This week, the AFN board is meeting in Juneau. They're going to be developing ideas, looking for solutions to some of these problems, and I think it's the wish of all of us to participate as much as possible, to be better educated and more awareness, and try to sit down and think of solutions that will work in solving these problems. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator. Any further special orders? Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request the privilege of Florida to speak on heavy snow or snowfalls, warm temperatures, rain, and collapsed
floor,
buildings.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last night during my constituent teleconference, we were informed, Representative from the District 26 House District on the other side, during our conference, that the school gym in Aleknagik had collapsed at about 5 o'clock. And it was due to the snowfall that we had had over the last month or so and the accumulation of the snow, which at that time was sort of light and fluffy, and the temperatures had warmed up considerably and to the point where it was raining yesterday. And, of course, the snow probably acted like a sponge in the weight, and this is my assumption here, that the weight of the snow on the building had collapsed. And fortunately, due to the weather conditions, the regional meet that was to have been held in Aleknagik over the weekend had not taken place because students couldn't get in. But there were people in the gym, and I was informed that the physical ed teacher was able to keep everybody calm, and they were able to get out in a timely manner. There were two casualties. They were not fatal. They were medevaced to the hospital in Dillingham, and we're currently looking into this and seeing if there's anything there that we can do. But we're fortunate that and very pleased to hear that there weren't any more serious accidents in there as there could have been if the conditions were right. So I would encourage anybody in here that has communities out in rural Alaska that have flat roofs and that have snow on top, watch these temperatures, and if they indeed they are getting to the point there where there's any stress at all, I would sure encourage people to get that snow off of there. Thank you.
Further special orders. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of this floor, the floor to speak on legislation introduced this morning.
Objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. What do glue, cooking oil spray, aerosol deodorants, hairspray, fingernail polish remover, typewriter correcting fluid, marking pens, gasoline, and paint thinner have in common? They all give off vapors or fumes that, when breathed in, give an individual kind of a drunken feeling. And all of these, if abused, can be deadly. Sniffing these substances has been known to cause permanent lung disorders, irreversible brain damage, heart and nervous system problems, and sometimes death from asphyxiation. And, Mr. President, according to a recent study by the University of Alaska, inhalant abuse is beginning at much younger ages than previously thought. The average age of initiation for inhalants is now between 10 and 12 years old in Alaska. And this abuse is not limited to any one area of Alaska. It's happening everywhere, and it crosses cultural and economic lines. Some of the real cases in Alaska, Mr. President, are terrifying. A 3-year-old child who has suffered permanent brain damage from sniffing cooking oil spray. It's like that Pam product that you spray on your grill in your home. A teenager from an upper middle class urban family who went from a gifted and talented student to a special ed student within just a couple of years as a result of sniffing gas or anything else she could find, and two teenagers who died this summer in rural Alaska from sniffing gas. Another frightening aspect of inhalant abuse is that the tolerance quickly builds so that kids abuse more and more often in order to get high. Treating inhalant abuse is also very difficult. The products that can be abused are readily available to all segments of our society, to kids as well as adults, and the kids who are abusing them are getting younger and younger. In response to this growing problem that we have, I and some of my colleagues have introduced two pieces of legislation this morning. The first one, Senate Bill 169, recognizes the problem of inhalant abuse, and it gives the State Office of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse responsibility for prevention, education, and treatment of inhalant abuse also. It also establishes SODA as a clearinghouse for all information related to inhalant abuse. In addition to that, Senate Concurrent Resolution 18 calls upon the school districts to begin to focus their efforts on educating students, parents, teachers, and administrators about the growing problem of inhalant abuse, and to begin to educate kids in the lower grades to correspond with the early age of initiation. It also appeals to the state purchasing agents to purchase alternative non-toxic products when they are available. I would invite any of my other colleagues, to join me in co-sponsoring this legislation, Mr. President, and request that the Secretary keep it on her desk. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. I'll hold that bill for a short period of time. Senator Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that it be allowed to speak under special orders regarding the budget summit and budget matters.
Without objection, you have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry that I guess a lot of people have left. I just wanted to sort of give a real quick briefing from the meeting that was upstairs in House Finance this morning. That the President of the Senate and also the Rules Chairman were there in the coordination with the other body on some of the meetings that are going to go on around the state. And I would hope that we can get out a little information to our members on that the next couple days on what we are going to be participating in. My understanding is, for the record, that we're going to be doing a statewide TV program, number one. We are going to have in Anchorage a meeting at West High School on March 11th for our Anchorage delegation. And I understand that's going to be discussed in our Anchorage caucus at the next meeting, possibly, and also that there's going to be a statewide mailing. I just want to make sure everybody knew what those three things were that I knew of at this point, and I think the communication is real important here.
Yes. The particulars, as we know them up to date at the time, will be given out in the majority caucus tomorrow. Any further special orders? Senator Halford.
Ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Senate stands in adjournment.